Really good to be with you this Sunday morning, and I'm particularly glad that I'm able to come to the Church of the Good Shepherd, sadly for me, for one last time, because this summer I'm leaving Woolwich to go to the Midlands to be Bishop of Lichfield. So please have Julia and me in your thoughts and prayers as we prepare for that. But I'm glad that before that, I'm able to confirm the five of you and to welcome Tim into ministry and to share in the Eucharist with you on this Good Shepherd Sunday in the Church of the Good Shepherd with Bridget Shepherd as vicar. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme of sheep and shepherds, as you'll know, is big in the Bible. And as I've just been explaining, it's big in Lee as well. Who do sheep normally follow? Well, of course, they ought to follow the shepherd, but normally, actually, and sadly, they follow other sheep. And that's not usually a very good idea. We found this out, Julia and I, when we were walking a few years ago along a lane in Derbyshire. We're walking down a quite narrow lane with walls on either side. And walking towards us in the opposite direction was a group of walkers. And in between us was a group of about seven sheep. And as the two groups of walkers got nearer, it became very apparent to the sheep that they were trapped between the two groups. Not that we had any malicious intent towards them, but you know what sheep are like. And their reaction was interesting. Their immediate reaction was to freeze, and you could just see a look of paralysed terror in their face. So they thought, what do we do now? And the kind of, I don't know what his name was, but the kind of lead sheep, they all looked at the lead sheep, and he sort of looked at the ground and then looked around and hoped that they would look somewhere else. And then he had a great idea, and they all started running around in a circle for about 3 minutes. And then a farmer appeared as if by miracle and opened a gate in the wall on the side of the lane, and they went through to pasture. And I've reflected quite often about that little scene with the sheep in Derbyshire, because it shows what sheep need, actually. They need courage, they need faith, and they need a shepherd. Courage, faith, and a shepherd. Think about each of those just for a moment as we prepare to confirm five new Christians and to welcome Tim as a new priest into ministry here. First of all, they need courage. I will never forget the look in those sheep's face as they were paralysed with fear and indecision. Should they go right to the right? Should they go to the left? Should they go forward? Should they go backward? They couldn't decide, and therefore they stayed put where they were. It's like that famous story of the donkey belonging to a man called Buridan, Buridan's ass. Buridan's ass was tethered to a post, equidistant between two piles of succulent hay, or straw, whatever donkeys eat. Anyway, hay, let's say hay. Both well within the donkey's reach. But he couldn't decide, because they were exactly the same distance apart, which one he should eat. And therefore, he starved to death. So it can be for us, in a metaphorical way, in our own society. We have so many choices to make in modern life. Our consumer society relies on presenting a whole smorgasbord of choice before us. and we can become obsessed with really important issues like what kind of clothes we should wear, what our hairstyle should be, even what kind of shoes we should wear. And as we do that, we ignore the big choices about values and direction of life that also face us, because actually we are fearful of making those important decisions. And so we need courage. We need courage to make a choice, to make a commitment. And it's great that the five of you being confirmed today have that courage, that you are ready to stand up, to commit yourselves to Jesus' way of living, not like sheep, paralyzed with fear, but courageously standing up to affirm, as you will in a few minutes' time, your baptismal promises. You will say, in the hearing of us all, I turn to Christ. I repent of my sins. I renounce evil. That takes courage. And after you've made those courageous declarations, with the rest of us, you will join three times in saying, I believe and trust in him. I believe and trust in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. That is a profession of faith. We need faith and trust to believe that there is a way ahead for us, that there is a path for us to follow. And I think of those sheep running round and round in a circle. Paralysis of fear at that stage had given way to sheer panic. It wasn't just that they're unsure what path they ought to go on. They didn't even believe that there was a path ahead for them. So seized by terror at the situation they found themselves in, they were, that they couldn't see ahead at all. And again, it's the same for many people today. It's so easy to have our horizon limited to be obsessed by the immediate situation, that we just cannot think beyond that. Well, you are here today, and we are here today, to witness to something different, to witness to faith as a journey that takes us forward in our lives, step by step, so that we're not just rushing around in circles, but we are setting out in faith on a purposeful journey, and a journey which is not just for today or for the next few weeks or months or the next few years, a journey which is for a lifetime. We'll be hearing from our five candidates in a few minutes what that journey means for them. And it's a great day for them today. But not every day will be as easy as today. Jesus never promised that the Christian life would be without problem or challenge. Quite the opposite. But what he did promise was that faith would provide a way for us to walk in. And we know that's right, not only because of his promise, but because over the centuries, billions and billions of people have walked on that way from the apostles onwards and walk on it still today. The journey you are setting out on today is not one you have to make on your own, but as part of the Lord's flock of sheep. And finally, it's really important to remember that, because sheep do need a shepherd. They cannot just rely on other sheep. I saw that on that lane in Derbyshire where the sheep were all looking at that one sheep, and you could see he just wished he really wasn't there. Not me from mates, look at someone else was all his body language. I learnt a great deal about leadership from that particular sheep, actually. It's only when the farmer appeared and shouted at his sheep in some language that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to repeat this morning. It's only then, actually, that they relaxed. As Jesus says in John's Gospel this morning, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Those sheep heard the farmer's voice and they followed him. It needed somebody to come into that situation from outside to deliver them. And we are the same. We need help from beyond. We need a shepherd who knows us by name and makes us his own. That is exactly what I will say to the five of you in a few minutes. God has called you by name and made you his own. That is why Tim, as a priest, as a shepherd of Christ's flock, is chosen. Not because he's a nice man, or a clever man, or a hard-working man, or a kind man. He is all of those things, because I've known him for years, and I can tell you that he is. But that's not enough. It's because the chief shepherd, Jesus, has called him and made him his own. And that is the only way in which he can exercise leadership, in which any of us can exercise leadership of Christ's sheep. Jesus has done that for each one of us. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd.